PFT Media.
Welcome to Orlando Opinions with editor of the Daily City, Mark Baratelli.
Hey, it's Mark Baratelli once again. Welcome back to Orlando Opinions. I'm here to give you my opinion, and you're here to sit down, shut up, and listen to it. Let's get started. Hamilton's Kitchen, a restaurant on the first floor corner of Alfond Inn, a lovely 122-unit boutique hotel built in 2013 in Winter Park, received 27 health code violations from DBPR during a routine health inspection November 29th. A full list of the violations is on thedailycity.com. Here are a few highlights from those 27 violations. They were unable to locate the certificate which proves their non-exempt fish offered raw or undercooked had undergone proper parasite destruction. This was deemed as a high priority. Foods in the reach-in cooler are not allowed to be held greater than 41 degrees. Raw fish was at 48, raw burger patties were at 51, heavy cream was at 49, and more. Their French toast batter was found to be 48 degrees and left out for 2 hours with an insufficient ice bath. This was deemed as a high priority. Milk and heavy cream cartons were found to not be date marked. And finally, according to a chef, 3 trays of shell eggs were left on a prep table for about 2 hours. Holding shelled eggs at room temperature with an ambient air temperature greater than 45 degrees Fahrenheit is not allowed. This was deemed also as a high priority. A follow-up inspection was required and conducted November 30th. They found ice buildup in the walk-in freezer, no conspicuously located ambient air temperature thermometer in the reach-in cooler. Required employee training has expired for some of the employees. The walk-in cooler freezer gaskets were soiled with a slimy mold-like buildup, and the walk-in cooler bottom gasket was torn and in disrepair, and the walk-in freezer floor was soiled. Hamilton's Kitchen inside of Alfond Inn inside of Winter Park is nothing short of a high-priced, high-end restaurant. The Alfond Inn is a luxury boutique hotel, and Winter Park is full of nothing but rich white people. How dare a restaurant like this get 27 health violations? You know, I want to make this clear. I am not bashing this restaurant. I'm not trying to make it look bad. They did that themselves. I am pointing out that this kitchen needs a wake-up call, and that's what this is. Again, I am not shaming them, but I think it's totally fair for you guys to know, hey, guess what? Just because it's high-end doesn't mean the people in the back are doing what they're supposed to be doing. Now, of course, an inspection is just a snapshot of what is going on in the kitchen. But that's a pretty shitty snapshot. So, I'm not saying don't go to this restaurant. I'm just saying take this piece of news, listen to it, and let it go back out, and give them a second shot. I mean, I'm not, but you can. One of the triumvirate of gas stations located in Audubon Park at the corner of Winter Park Drive and Corinn is getting a $44,000 makeover. The city will be paying $20,000 of it through their City of Orlando Small Business Facade Program. The part of the improvement plans that caught our eye was the new second entrance, complete with windows on either side of the door, labeled as New Storefront. The Daily City confirmed with the wife of the owner that indeed a wall was being built to cut the building in half and a new business was coming into the second space. This is important because retail space in the popular Audubon Park district is at a premium. Along with the new storefront, the property will get new paint, landscaping, and a freshly painted parking lot. I think this project is cool. This gets a Daily City thumbs up. To take a gas station and cut it in half and then provide one more retail space in a neighborhood that is like desperate for retail space. There's all these small businesses that want to be located in this hot neighborhood, and one of them is going to get the chance in this gas station. I think it's great. Thumbs up. Nothing negative to say, but that Alfond Inn, I am not going back. The Daily City was the first to report that thousands of North Quarter residents were being subjected to nonstop, 24/7, high-pitched, painful squealing coming from, for many, many years, get ready for it, the Orange County Bar Association. They have a building in the district, and they attach these little boxes to the front of the building that release these pings. And they are on all day, every day, and have been for years. On December 5th, we shared audio directly from the building, and many residents commented that they had never known where this noise was coming from. The Daily City spoke with the Bar Association secretary, who told us the noise was intentional and it is to keep dogs off their property, and that us coming and asking about the issue was only the second time they've ever received a complaint. We were given an employee's name and number to send our questions to, and our questions, of course, remain unanswered. On Wednesday, December 6th, North Quarter resident Tim Lawrence organized a community Facebook group called North Quarter United, #StopTheSqueal, in response to our Instagram post and our two follow-up stories. He then called every news organization until Channel 6 got the issue stopped. The Orange County Bar Association said they discontinued the ridiculous practice until a new solution could be found. Channel 6 did not credit us as the source of the story. And that is some bullshit behavior, especially because when Lawrence met up with Channel 6, according to him, the first thing the person interviewing him said was that they found the story on what? The Daily City. I went myself in person to the Channel 6 office, and the news director was shocked that I was there and was extremely curt and told me stories in Orlando are like Christmas ornaments on a tree. Everyone can do a story on that ornament. I told her that I was the only one in this case who did a story on that ornament for 2 weeks. Assholes. Named after some of the citrus packing houses demolished to make way for the packing district, the packing district will be built near College Park at the corner of Princeton Street and Orange Blossom Trail. What's to be expected is 202 acres of, quote, a mix of residential and retail offerings that may include apartments, townhomes, commercial office space, a grocer, coffee shop, brewery, etc., end quote. It will also contain a 100-acre park with urban trails, tennis center, bike trails, running trails, an amphitheater, and an urban farm. Construction is expected to begin in 2018 and go on for 10 to 15 years. Dr. Phillips Incorporated is behind the project. City of Orlando will pay Dr. Phillips $30 million to make improvements on and around the 202 acres. However, it will take 25 years for the city just to earn $121 million back in taxes. How generous of a charity to take money from the city and the city accept these ridiculous conditions. Go to hell, the both of you. Recently, Visit Orlando headed an effort to crowdsource the answer to a question nobody asked. What is Orlando's signature dish? You know, like New York City's famous pizza, Chicago's famous pizza, and Philadelphia's famous pizza. Rather than asking locals to tell them, Visit Orlando asked hotel chefs, theme park chefs, and a few locals to make up the signature dish. Make up the signature dish. As far as we know, no one in New York City, Chicago, or Philadelphia was asked by a half-public, half-private company to make up the famous pizza. It just happened. The signature dish had to include honey as a main ingredient, because apparently Florida exports honey, and it had to be a dessert. Chefs entered the contest, and five judges picked the winner. The answer to the question nobody asked was answered recently. Honey nougat glacé. The project was inspired by the vacations of a rich white woman. Orange County Mayor Teresa Knotted Pearls aren't just for 1990s middle school secretaries Jacobs. We told you this project was racist, nowhere near local-centric, and void of representation of ethnic, except French, street or casual food in the invited planning group. Now we want to confirm Orlando Weekly's Faez Kara's thoughts. It's effing stupid. So, what should be Orlando's signature dish, really? At first, I felt it should be Beefy King Sandwich. It's an inexpensive dish from a restaurant with tons of local history that started in Orlando. Then, through a brief twit-versation, Faez convinced me that if we're to use Visit Orlando's model of deciding on one dish that every restaurant who wants to will sell, a meat sandwich perfected by one restaurant may not work. For now, I move Beefy King from Sig Dish to the must-visit list. So, I second Faez's nomination of the turkey leg. It can be recreated by, yes, I said turkey leg. It can be recreated by any restaurant. Each restaurant can easily make their own version, and most importantly, it's legit. Yes, everyone jumps for joy anytime a local restaurant opens. I do as well. Jump, jump. But we're not known to billions of human beings for our locally sourced beet salad. Those turkey legs are what the world knows us for. Thank you for listening once again to Orlando Opinions. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter at The Daily City or go to thedailycity.com. That's where you can also get dates and times of our famous Food Truck Bazaar special events. They bring together the very best food trucks in Orlando and help grow the Central Florida food truck scene. And remember, Orlando is wonderful.
A PFT Media production.